Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that we can come boldly to your throne, that we can just lay it all at your feet and trust you in everything in our lives. I just pray that you would open our hearts today to hear what you have to tell us. Let your spirit dwell among us and in us, Lord. Thank you so much for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Everybody okay? Man, I on my way down here this morning, I was coming down here with a great sense of anticipation and expectation about what God wants to do. Yesterday was a great day at First Mile and Second Mile Church. Had a great men's ministry meeting. Had a fabulous meeting last night with the foster care ministry from 5 to 7 over here. And our military ministry was doing work yesterday. And so all of that, I'm praying, will just spill over in here today. Did you come with a sense of anticipation today? Did you come looking for God to move and speak? You need to do that. Come prayed up, come preached up, come stored up. So we are in Hebrews chapter 4. I'll turn the lights on for those of us that have trouble seeing. We're in Hebrews chapter 4. And by God's grace, we're going to hopefully finish up chapter 4 today. I was at a MVN birthday party for Brother V Friday night, and a fellow across the table said, "What are you preaching on Sunday, Pastor?" And I said, "Well, I'm preaching through the book of Hebrews at our church." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, it's a great book. You ought to try it." And, you know, and then on the way down here this morning, I heard Forrest Frank singing, "Your way is better. Jesus is just better." Let's all rise as we read God's word. Hebrews 4 in verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Father, I pray that right now, God, you would bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word in our lives. Bless it, Jesus. Get me out of the way. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. All God's children said,
amen.
All right, be seated. Now, over and over again, the writer of Hebrews has told us that Jesus is just better. He is. He's just better. And, you know, the writer of Hebrews has reminded us, we've been learning, he's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Joshua. He's a better rest. He's a better Sabbath. He's a better Savior. Well, today, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that Jesus is a better priest. As a matter of fact, he calls him a great high priest. And it's a wonderful title for him. And, you know, I think humanity has always felt the need for a priest, somebody who could represent us to God. I mean, that's been that way for thousands of years. And in Bible days, and even now, in some countries, the most powerful figure in the community is the priest, because he's the one that represents people to God, so to speak. So even in the Christian community, community. Power and privileges given to those in the priesthood. Now, in Bible days, the priests would serve, we learned, at the tabernacle in early days, and then later on in the temple, 24/7. And the priest was, I guess the high priest was the cream de la cream. He was the big dog, okay? And Aaron was the first high priest. And then later on, you know, every firstborn of the high priest would become the next high priest. And now, if you were a good Jew, and I might say this, if you were a good Baptist, you went to church. Now, the Jews would go on the Sabbath, on Saturday, and they would be allowed to go into certain courts and rooms of the temple. But they went to the temple on Saturday to worship, and there were no pews and no chairs to sit in, saying, oh my. There was no air conditioning. Oh my. You thermostat folks, bless y'all's heart. Anyways, help me to stay focused here, Lord. And so there's no preacher, there's no pastor who's rightly dividing the word of truth. But in order for the people to experience and draw near to God, an animal sacrifice had to be made so that the sins of the people could be forgiven. And then even once a year, the high priest would enter in to this little cube-shaped room called the Holy of Holies, and where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the mercy seat, and the cherubim whose wings almost reached and touched one. And it was there that the presence of God dwelt. And so once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in behind this veil, this huge curtain, and he would present the blood of a spotless, unblemished male lamb, and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And if he followed the instructions of Scripture to the T, he would come out, and the sins, the national sins of Israel, would be forgiven and pushed forward for one more year. But that had to take place year after year, Sabbath after Sabbath, because y'all know the deal. Those sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, were temporary. But hallelujah, when Jesus came, everything changed. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, he changed. He changes us. And so no longer do we need a priest to go on our behalf to God. We don't need that any longer. Because why? Because we have a high priest in heaven. Tell somebody, we got a high priest in heaven. Hallelujah. Who is a mediator between God and man. And his name is?
Jesus.
Yes, 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 yes. And so he's opened the way for us as our great high priest to be in the presence of Almighty God. The songs that we sang today had to do with most of these scriptures, and I appreciate that. Everything we got, because I'm praying that God will make this passage real to your heart today. I'm praying that you'll get it. Everybody, let's shout. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
All right, here we go. Now, let me just give you three quick truths that reasons that Jesus is our great high priest. Right there in verse 14, he tells us he is our great high priest because of his position, because of where he is and who he is. So where is his position this morning? Well, he tells us right there in verse 14. He says, seeing then as we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Our great high priest is right there this morning. Now, on the Day of Atonement, like we were talking about, the high priest would enter in behind that veil, behind that curtain, and do the work that he needed to do. And when he came out, after having completed atonement for the sins of the people, everything was good. You could then draw near to God. And then 40 days after the crucifixion, after Jesus was crucified, he rose bodily, physically, literally, into the heavens. And when he did that, here's what happened. He offered his blood as the all-atoning sacrifice for our sins at the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies of heaven. That's another sermon for another day, but that's what happened. We've got a high priest in glory. We've got a glorified man on the throne in heaven who has made sacrifice for us so that we can enter in to the presence of Almighty God. You don't have to go find some earthly priest. You've got a high priest in heaven today. And you can enter in any time that you need to and want to. I'll talk more about that in just a minute. And so he is our great high priest, not only because of where he is, but because of who he is. The writer of Hebrews calls him the Son of God. The Son of God. Now, this is kind of what separates us. I've heard Billy talk about this in Sunday school. This is kind of what separates what we believe from other faith factions. That's just a kind word for, yeah. And so, as Son of God, he's both divine and human. Now, wrap your head around that for just a minute. As Jesus, he understands your needs. But as the Son of God, he's able to meet your needs. I don't care what your need is, he can meet it. He's the great need meter. Need meter. That's a new word. That's a new phrase. Amen. And so he's both divine and human. He's the Son of God. And because of these facts, man, you can hold fast to your confession of faith. Now, let me stop right here. You are not saved because you're holding on to Jesus. If it was up to you, friend, you'd lose it every week. You're saved because he's holding on to you. Boy, there's some talk back over here. Hallelujah. You are saved because he's holding on to you. So what is it? What's with this holding fast to our confession? Well, the writer of Hebrews is trying to encourage these new believers to hang in there, to not quit on Jesus and go back to some dead religion. That would be a vital mistake, a serious mistake. And today, I mean, when we hold fast to our confession that Jesus is Lord, when we hold fast to that confession, man, we advertise our faith to the world. You're the best advertisement that the church has today. When you're walking by faith and you're living out your confession of faith, man, that tells the world, I belong to him. And I really don't care who knows. That's what baptism is all about. Hallelujah. So, we allow this confession of faith to define who we are and what we do. I wish I had some more time. We've got the Lord's Supper today, but man, I could roll with that truth for a while. But secondly, he's not only our great high priest because of where he is and who he is, because of his position, but because of his perfection. We sang about that a little bit ago. Jesus Christ is the perfect man. He's perfect in every way. And he never did sin. How did that happen? Because he's Son of God. But he understands what temptation is all about. How so? Because he's Son of Man. He understands he's divine and yet he's human. And so he endured every temptation that you're faced with and I'm faced with day after day, month after month, year after year, and yet he never gave in. He never sinned. And that has two great implications for us today. Are you ready? Man, don't miss this. Two great implications because of his perfection for us this morning. First of all, he can sympathize with us in our time of weakness. He can sympathize with us in our time of weakness. Sometimes, you know, you get to feeling like, you know what, nobody understands what I'm going through. People just don't get it. Folks don't know the situation and the circumstances I'm facing and I'm up against. Nobody understands. Is there anybody out there that can help me with this deep need that I have? in my spirit and in my soul. Is there anybody out there that understands? Well, Jesus knows how you feel. The word sympathy means to suffer with. To suffer with. He not only sees our suffering from the outside, but He enters into our suffering with us. He understands our human limitations. Jesus, there's a commercial on, I don't even know who does the commercial, but He says He gets us. And He really does. He gets us. He understands. He knows what it's like to get disappointed. Y'all been disappointed this month? I got disappointed last night watching the news. My goodness, what a mess our nation's in. And we're going to fall if we don't have revival. Jesus knows what it feels to be exhausted. Some of y'all are working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, and then you show up in church and fall asleep. Jesus knows what it's like to feel exhausted. He knows what it's like to be rejected. That is the toughest thing, I think, for people, human beings, to handle. He understands what rejection's like. He's been there. He's done that. He understands what it's like to be abandoned. He has experienced every single emotion that you will ever experience. And because of that, He enters into your suffering with you. He sympathizes with you. There's an old song we used to sing at the nursing home in Wayne County. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Lord. Anybody know this song? Some of y'all are looking like a moon calf. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. And He is able to enter into these struggles and suffer with us. Here's the second implication, and I like this one. He not only can sympathize with us in times of weakness, He can strengthen us in our time of temptation. Say the word strengthen. All right. Now, look again at verse 15. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Woo, glory to God. He knows what it's like to be tempted. I mean, Jesus knows about all the temptations that we face on a daily basis. And I want to tell you, the devil was after Him. And let me just let y'all in on a secret. He's after you. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And He was tempted with everything that we're tempted with. The world, the flesh, all of that. And yet when it was all said and done, Jesus came out smelling like a rose. He never did sin. Aren't you thankful we have a sinless Savior today? And so, as the Son of God, He resisted temptation to the point where He broke Satan's power. And by the way, can I just tell you, if you've been raised from death unto life, if you're a believer, if you belong to Jesus, if you've been saved, if you're a Christian, guess what? You've got the same resurrection power that He had. That's what the book of Romans tells us. You've got power available to help you to stand against temptation. Here's a novel thought. You don't have to sin. I don't have to give in. Now, we all know because of this sin nature that hasn't been completely eradicated yet, we're going to sin, but you ought to sin less and less and less. Because Jesus is up in here. His Spirit lives within us. Oh, y'all, this is good stuff. You don't have to live a defeated life. You've got the power. You got something better than the Energizer Bunny. Hallelujah. You've got resurrection power. You can live above the sin in your life. And you can, you know what? There have been times, I shared this last week with y'all, how God cleaned up my mouth. And I'm not talking about Crest toothpaste either. But my kids have never heard me cuss and say ugly, dirty, filthy profanity or that kind of stuff. But it's not because I'm so good. It's because he entered in and strengthened me to avoid that temptation. And you know what? I had probably four or five of y'all tell me, you know what? God did the same thing for me. He cleaned my mouth up. And I want to tell you, you can live above sin. You can. Give him praise in the house today. Hallelujah. And some of y'all are sitting here and he still needs to clean your mouth up. Hallelujah. Now, so he's our great high priest because of his position, because of his perfection, and then because of his provision. And this is the verse Dwight Dixon's been waiting on. You know why? Because it's rich. Right, Dwight? All right. Look at verse 16. Let us. Now, who is us? Us. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Whew. I've said a mouthful right there. Now, you can draw near to God. The scripture says in James, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And you can come to Jesus anytime you get ready. Anytime, 24/7. You can enter into the throne room. Where is Jesus? Yeah. You can enter into his presence. Why? Because he tore that temple veil in two. And the Holy of Holies is now open to the believer. And you can enter in to have that need that you've got, and he'll meet that need. Most of the time. Sometimes, you know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh and God didn't take it away. But he needed that to stay close to Jesus. That's another sermon. But if you were a Jew living 2,000 years ago, you couldn't draw near to God. You had to worship from afar. And you had to go find a priest who could take care of your sin issue for you for temporarily, let's say. But not today. You can come boldly, confidently, without hesitation or reservation into the very presence of God Almighty, the God of the universe. Whew. And you can come into his presence and open up your heart to him. Listen, folks, God already knows what's going on, but he's wanting to hear your dependence upon him. He already knows about your struggle. He already knows about the stuff that you're tempted with. He already knows about all the things that are coming against you. He already knows what your needs are, but he wants to hear you ask him. You got any family troubles? Go to Jesus. You got trouble on the job? Go to Jesus. You got some burden you can't hardly carry? Go to Jesus. You got some health issue? You got some physical issue? Go to Jesus. You got some financial need? Go to Jesus. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns all the hills as well. Whatever it is you need, just go to Jesus. He can take care of that need for you. We have a great high priest, and we can come boldly into that throne room, into his presence, 24/7, to obtain mercy. Now, what is mercy? Well, bless God, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. I had a buddy of mine tell me one time, he said, I just need justice. I said, you don't need justice. What you need is mercy. You know what we deserve? Eternal separation from God. We chose to sin. And that sin separated us from God. And if God gave us what we deserved, you know where we'd all wind up? Hell, forever separated from him. And so some of y'all up in here today need mercy. Well, what is grace? And find grace to help. What is grace? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Y'all got the two now? Mercy is what? All right, not getting what you do deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. How many of you have Jesus? You know that you know that you know you got Jesus. Guess what? You got something you don't deserve. We're saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. And so here's the deal, brothers and sisters. We have a high priest, a great high priest, who is the Son of God, who has entered into the heavens. And he understands us. He gets us. When we fall, we're not forgotten. When we stumble, we're not abandoned. When we suffer, he comes into that suffering with us. When we're tempted, he strengthens us. And he is available right now. Right now. I can't think of a better time for this message just before we sit down at his table and enter into his presence with him. And so I've got a question for you. What do you need this morning? Do you need a little mercy? He's got it. Do you need some grace? He's got it. And you don't have to go sneaking in or limping in or, oh, woe is me. You don't have to go in like old Eeyore the donkey. You can go in boldly and confidently into the very presence of God, knowing that he wants to sympathize with your weaknesses, knowing that he wants to strengthen you in your temptation, knowing that you can ask for anything. And we talked about this. I'm having trouble landing this plane. We talked about this in the prayer room this morning. If you will pray God's word back to him, guess what? You're going to get what you asked for, because that's God's will. Well, God, now your word says that I can have mercy. Your word says that I can have grace. And Father, your word says that all I need to do is ask for it. And if I'll ask for it in faith, then you'll give me peace that passes all understanding. Pray God's word back to him. And that's why, that's another reason we can enter in. And so what is it that you need to come to the throne of grace for this morning? What is it? What do you need him to do for you? Mercy? Grace? What are the needs? I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We ought to have an altar full of people today. We believe in prayer. We say we do. I believe in prayer because I believe in God. And before we sit down at the table, if there's some issue you need to get right with God, do that. During this time of invitation, get those issues right with him. Ask him for mercy. Ask him for grace. Do what you need to do. Let's get clean. Let's get purified. Let's get right before God. Let's come into his presence. Father, I don't know exactly what you want to do with this message, but I do know this. Every time we hear your word or read your word, there's a response that needs to be made on our end. And so, God, give us grace. Give us mercy. There are people all across this congregation that have a need. And we can come into your presence and receive it by faith. So, God, open up our hearts today. Help us to call on Jesus. As the old song says, just a little talk with Jesus. Help us, Lord. In your name we pray. We're going to sing a hymn of response. The altar is open. The war room, the prayer room's open. Whatever you need. Don't sit there if God is speaking to you. Do not sit there. You do what God's telling you to do. Not what I'm telling you to do, what He's telling you to do. I know there are needs all across the room. You come. You come. Let's sing. Let's all stand and you sing and you come.
Let's all sing together.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.